Good morning, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Ricardo Bozzi, National Leader of Australia One. Good to see you. Thank you for joining us. As you can see, we have Australia's favourite ex-communist, John Wilson, now man of God and fighting the good fight for all Australians to remove this belligerent occupation. Now, our special guest today is Chris Skye, human rights activist and international businessman. Now, we'll see meet Chris shortly. Nothing stops Chris. This guy is unstoppable. He will just keep moving forward regardless of the challenges, and he's faced many, legal and otherwise, in this journey to free the planet. Now, he's an international traveler as well. We're speaking to him today from Istanbul, Turkey, and he's made time, put time aside to speak with us to give us an update on how things are going around the planet. Chris, good afternoon, good evening. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I am fantastic. It's 7 o'clock.
So you're in Istanbul.
I'm in Istanbul right now. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be in Colombia. I'm going to be in Mexico, and then before I'm heading back to Canada because I'm setting up some business opportunities and hopefully some real estate opportunities as well. Because unfortunately, it seems like it's time to get the hell out of Canada. Australia is probably the only other country in the world I can think of that's almost in as bad a position of Canada. And what do I mean by that? I mean by economically, and I mean by so far down the World Economic Forum agenda, we're almost at the point of no return, barring a full-scale revolution of the government. So I can give you some stats right now. We currently are almost as bad as you with debt to GDP ratio. We are over 100%, almost 100% debt to GDP ratio. But it gets scarier when you look at the makeup of that debt. We're only around 150 years old as a country. And it took us 141 years to get the first $1 trillion of debt. And only 16 years after that to double that to the over $2 trillion of debt we have now. We are currently in a recession and the government's just keeping completely quiet about it. And they keep telling everybody how they're adding all these jobs every month for the employment numbers. But when you do the nitty gritty and you see every job being added is a government job. So it's not adding to our GDP. It's actually taking from our tax dollars. It's actually so bad that if you look at how fast the private sector is growing compared to how fast the government is growing, the government is outpacing the private sector 4 to 1. Or 400% more than the private sector, which is already mired in a recession. We are using so much of our annual revenue to run our bloated and disgusting government that a healthy number for this statistic is somewhere around 20, maximum 25%. In Canada last year, we hit 41% of all our annual revenue is being spent on the government. And what did Trudeau do to remedy this situation? He created a budget with an extra $40 billion deficit. And when they give you a $40 billion projected deficit, you know it's usually gonna be twice that amount. So they're doing everything they can to raise inflation and cost of living in Canada. And there's a very good reason for this. They wanna bring in UBI, they wanna bring in digital ID, they wanna bring in a mandatory vaccination bill and tie all three together to create the social credit score for Canada and complete control of Canadian citizens. So how are they doing it? It's very, very simple and it works very, very well because they're targeting a small percentage of the country while targeting the whole country at once. And what do I mean by that? They are artificially putting us in a situation where every single year from now, Canadians can expect around a 30% increase in cost of living for all their basic needs, housing, food, electricity, gas, etc. They've also told people that own homes that they can expect their mortgage rates to climb by around 60%. So what's that going to do? Every year, you're going to see Canadians having to tighten their belts, make some sacrifices, and get used to having less and less. But the bottom 5% of our society economically is going to lose their homes. They're going to become renters instead of owners. And that is the goal. They want you to own nothing and be happy. And with a 30% cost of increase every year, you're going to see around 5 to 7% of the population losing their homes and becoming renters, which means over 90% of the people aren't going to be in the streets rioting and screaming and helping them. They're just going to be happy that they're holding on to whatever they got because Canadians are already the most apathetic and tolerant people on planet Earth. Now, they realize that because we're so much in debt and because there's really no wealth left in Canada, they've closed more businesses in the first quarter of 2024 than they did in the entire than the pace of the entire pandemic. We broke the record for business closures, and the recession is set to go for another at least year and a half. And if you look at Canada's economy on the OCED index, which are the petroleum companies that have some of the best economists in the world, Canada is rated as one of the top 38 most advanced countries in the world. And their projections for our economy is for Canada's economy to fare dead last out of all 38 countries for the next 40 years straight. So for people that think, oh, it's going to get better, it's definitely not going to get better. And every single year, we have a very large population of people 55 plus and reaching senior citizen status, almost 30% of our population, and most of our white and Canadian population are elderly. And they're not going to be able to count on their pensions to make ends meet. So what's the last vestige of wealth left in Canada? It's the private wealth owned in private ownership and private business. So with the extended cost of living that they're going to have, 30% a year, basically doubling the cost of living every 3 years, you're going to see massive amounts of people losing their homes. And all the older people, there's going to be a brand new trillion-dollar industry in Canada and the U.S. It's called a reverse mortgage. Just like everybody has to use a mortgage to buy a property, now it's going to become just as common for a senior citizen to have to use a reverse mortgage to keep their property. And when the time comes and they actually pass away, there's going to be so much debt left on their property that the bank is going to be able to sell it off to companies like BlackRock at like a fraction of the cost. And their kids are not going to have the income to try to buy these houses back. And all these kids are counting on, and I say kids, they're older than me, all these kids in their 40s and 50s are counting on their parents to pass down these houses to them because they know there's no other way they can get in the home market. So they're going to steal all the older homes with the reverse mortgages, and they're going to steal all the middle-aged people's homes through the increased cost of living. Next year, we also have an election. Mr. Pierre Poilievre is virtually guaranteed to win this election. Not only is he even more a staunch Zionist than Trudeau and supports Israel's invasion and genocide of Palestine unequivocally and will send unlimited money to Israel and Ukraine, one of the first things he's going to pass is the digital ID. And they know how to work on the conservatives' minds. So they're going to come in with a moral standpoint. They're going to come in and say, oh, we just want to pass digital ID for online porn because we want to keep kids out of online porn. So all the conservatives are going to be like, well, that sounds like a great idea. We don't want kids on porn. And as soon as the digital ID gets passed for online porn, now all of a sudden it's going to be for social media. It's going to be for your job. It's going to be for everything else. And that's phase one of the trap. With the increased cost of living that we're seeing, every 3 years, basically doubling, I believe in my head, they're going with three cycles of 3 years. And by the end of 9 years, virtually all the people are going to be renting instead of buying. And the vast majority of people are not even going to make ends meet. And that's when they're going to pass Bill S-233, which has already passed its second reading in the Senate. And S-233 is a basic universal basic income, but it comes with strings attached. Forced vaccination, forced medical interventions, virtually whatever the government wants you to do, you will have to do it. Not only to collect your UBI, but to collect your paycheck, collect any insurance benefits, and even collect your pension that you have been paying into your entire life. So what we're seeing is the implementation of taking people's wealth, taking people's private property, and forcing them onto a Chinese-style social credit system where they are now completely at the government's dependency to be able to survive. And at that point, Canada's pretty much finished. And they know this. So, and they know Canadians are going to be mad at that point. So what are they doing? Everybody's been worrying about, oh, they're going to bring in UN soldiers to Canada and they're going to use foreign troops against us. Well, they were half right. Canada has now made a new law that you do not have to be a Canadian citizen to be part of the Canadian military. You just need to be a permanent resident. So out of the million plus third worlders that they're bringing into Canada every year, and they're not bringing in the best and brightest from these countries, they're bringing in the worst and worst of these countries. As soon as they bring them in and we pay for them, they give them a permanent resident card. We already saw this year 21,000 non-Canadian permanent residents become Canadian military soldiers. 41% of them from India, some from China, Brazil, Nigeria, Jamaica, and my personal favorite, 8% of them are from countries unknown. How the hell can you have somebody come from a country unknown, give them a permanent residency status, and then give them a Canadian military uniform training and a rifle? And if they continue that pace in the 9-year cycle that I say that they're trying to use, by then they're going to have an army of over 200,000 Canadian military that were not only not born here, have no relatives here and no ties and no loyalty to Canada. So we're talking about them setting the stage for exactly what Klaus Schwab and his minions have been talking about. And Canada is by far the furthest down this rabbit hole. And that's why I said, barring an actual revolution, and not a revolution of thought, a revolution of actual action, there's no way that they're going to stop this. Because we would need to cut our government virtually in half, cut our government spending in half, create a budget surplus of between $50 and $100 billion each year to start paying off our debt and to kickstart our economy back to where it needs to be, growing. So everything that's happening is sinister, and it's not by accident. People think Trudeau is an idiot. People think the government's stupid. They know exactly what they are doing. They are following the marching orders of the globalists above them. And Canada is serving as the model for the rest of the world. It is the most successful experiment they have had thus far, because Canadians are the youngest and the most tolerant and most obedient humans on planet Earth. So I'm trying to set the stage for a debate right now. I don't know if you guys know who Jeremy McKenzie is. They call him the raging dissident, and he's in Canada. And he's been telling everybody, oh, we can't leave Canada. He's a veteran. He's an army veteran who was drafted and sent over to Afghanistan to kill innocent women and children. So the same Zionist entities that are destroying Canada, destroying Australia, who were paying him since he was 16 years old, could now control the heroin trade in Australia. And wouldn't you know it, now we have an Oxycontin and other heroin-based epidemics in Canada. So Jeremy McKenzie knows that I'm probably the main opposition, and I've been telling Canada there's only three choices. You can stay in Canada, be compliant, let them take your freedom and your prosperity piece by piece until you become a technocratic and literal slave. The second type of people in Canada are the ones that believe they're going to fight back. And by fight back, we have people that think they're going to live within the cities but outside the system by making money illegally, like drug dealing or prostitution or things like that. And then you have the other side of the coin where people think they're going to create these little villages and communes off grid and be able to survive, and the government's just going to leave them alone. In reality, those people are going to become the target once they already have Canada enslaved. And I label number one of the majority of people that are just going to let everything happen, the slaves. The number two people that won't let themselves be slaves but have an effective solution are going to be called the sacrifices. And then you have people like me that have been advocating that if you want a more prosperous life for you, your family, and your children, just like 99% of Canadians were not born in Canada originally, they all came from other countries because their ancestors saw that whatever country they were in was no longer prosperous and no longer had a future. We now have to do the same thing in Canada, and we have to emigrate to other countries. And what we are seeing so far is a record number of Canadians leaving Canada. And we're talking about the smartest people, the people with money, and the people with foresight. So the best and brightest are leaving Canada in record numbers. So the chances of a revolution and or chances of it turning around become even less. And they're going to places like Mexico, Costa Rica, Panama, places like that, that are on the come up. Mexico is going to be a global powerhouse within the next 5 years. Their currency is the strongest performing fiat currency in the world the last 2 years. To give you an example, I'm a permanent resident in Mexico for a couple of years. 2 years ago, it was 17.5 pesos for a Canadian dollar. Now it's already 12 pesos per Canadian dollar, and that's only in 2 years. And Canada is going to go even further down the tubes. And it's not like we have a euro that's worth a lot of money or a pound that's worth a lot of money. Our Canadian currency is 50% less than the euro and 73% less than a British pound. So Canadians are literally by far in the worst situation. And it got to the point where I wanted to challenge Jeremy to a debate about this. And he was doing everything he could to avoid the debate. He actually called me out on social media and said, I don't want to debate you because you're too stupid for me. I'm too smart for you. So instead, I want to have a fight against you, trying to literally cut down the constructive argument and just turn it into some kind of physical battle. And me not being afraid of anybody, I told him, sure, I'll fight you after we have our debate. So to prove to the world that he's a coward and a liar, just like most people who are against what I'm saying, I literally met with a lawyer last night to create a contract, a legal contract in writing, to have this national debate set up with a live audience broadcast around the world, where I'm going to tell people what's wrong with Canada, where it's going to be in 5 years, where it's going to be in 10 years. And he's going to have to try to convince people why they should stay. And the second part of the contract is that we're going to have a UFC style MMA fight after the fact. Now, people think this is about ego. People can say that whatever they want. To me, the fight means absolutely nothing. Being able to knock out Jeremy or any other Canadian or any other person in the world is highly irrelevant. It's all about the debate. And I want to get it out there, not just to Canadians, because it might be too late to save Canada. But when the rest of the world sees me lay out step by step what they are planning on doing to us and how it's going to affect us in the short and long term, and then they see it actually happening, just like my COVID predictions, well, maybe, just maybe, we can turn things around for the rest of the world and we can stop this madness from happening. So I'm once again putting my life and even my fists on the line for fight for my country. And I believe that it's going to be the best strategy because it's going to get a lot of people's attention. It's going to be very well promoted. I also put a clause in there, by the way, just so people know, because everyone thinks people are about money, that we are allowed to sell tickets to secure the venue and get all the equipment we're going to need for both events, the debate and the fight. But any extra revenue that is generated, half is going to go to Mr. McKenzie, half is going to go to myself, and we have to donate it to our favorite charities. I do not want to make one penny off this, and I definitely don't want that scumbag making one penny off of this. So we are setting the stage where we are going to be a beacon of hope, and hopefully not an example set by the World Economic Forum for Canada and the rest of the world. So that's what I've been organizing for the past little while. And I believe it's very important because everything that I just told you about is not conjecture. It's not speculation. It's not my opinion. It's 100% facts. The laws for the universal basic income, the laws for the mandatory vaccination and digital ID are already in the system. They're already made it through their second readings and they're not changing anything about it. And if that wasn't bad enough, in pure dictator style, Trudeau is creating two new laws. The first law is about misinformation. So they want to stop people like me from being able to do protests because I did protests all over Canada, all over the US, Mexico, Netherlands, United Kingdom, Ireland. Haven't been to Australia yet, but they're making a law that states if the government feels like you might tell people something that they can classify as misinformation, they do not even need to charge you with a crime and they can put you on house arrest and confine you there with an ankle bracelet because they think you might say something that they don't like. This is pre-crime, straight out of Minority Report with Tom Cruise, and it's designed to limit people like me from being able to fight back. The second law they're going to bring out, and they're going to do this when Paulie Ever takes over, is a so-called anti-hate and anti-Semitism law. So if you're against their entire LGBT agenda, where countries like Peru are declaring transgender people mentally ill, in Canada, they have an entire police division of transgender officers. And they actually use our tax dollars to give them special police cars with the rainbow flag logo on it. So you'll drive by a police car, it'll say LGBT on it, it'll have a rainbow on it, and you'll see a 6'3" black guy driving with a blonde wig and makeup on. And that's how they're treating Canadians. And as everybody knows, our Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, is a known pedophile. he had to pay a $2.5 million settlement suit for having sex with a 15-year-old girl that he met at the school where he was a part-time drama teacher. So he went from pedophile part-time drama teacher paying a $2.5 million lawsuit to being our prime minister for the next 8 years. And we wonder why all these new laws are coming out that are pro-LGBT and not protecting children. And guess what the hate crimes law is? If you do a so-called hate crime, and the definition of hate is very broad and expanding in their favor every single day, life in prison for saying something the government doesn't like, and house arrest with an ankle monitor without even being charged with a crime, if they can say that they believe you're going to say something you don't like. So you put these laws together with the economic conditions and the new laws that they're bringing out to create dependency and social credit score and UBI on government. And then there's two more things that we have to add into the equation. Number one is AI. Already AI is advanced enough that it's taking millions of people's jobs. For instance, I can buy a $200 piece of AI software that does voiceovers, and it can do male voices, female voices, children's voices, and 30 different voices. And 99% of people cannot tell this is AI. They believe it's a real person. That's a $5 billion industry where the average person makes around $60,000 a year. Those jobs are going to be completely gone. And that's just one example of probably, if I sit here, I could give you dozens or even over 100 examples of how people are going to be losing their jobs, losing their livelihoods, and becoming more dependent on government. And if that wasn't bad enough, we have this whole thing with the COVID vaccine. Some people in Canada are on booster shot number 7. Now, I don't care how much you believe in science. Everybody knows that even if it doesn't kill you right away, every single vaccine you take is lowering your overall lifespan. We also have an epidemic of autism in Canada, and they try to pretend it has nothing to do with vaccines. But I'm going to bring up a country like Japan right now, for instance, because just a few days ago, the most senior cancer scientist in Japan did a study where he now confirmed that the turbo cancers, and that's a new word, no one's ever heard of turbo cancers before, but they're cancers that between the time of diagnosis and your death is a matter of a few months. And every single person that's getting these turbo cancers is getting it from the vaccine. He called the vaccines a work of evil and said that they need to be investigated before they ever inject them into anybody else. And Japan is unique. In 1980s, like many other countries, they introduced the mandatory MMR, measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine for children. By 1993, so many children were having problems, including brain damage, aka autism, that they actually made the MMR vaccine illegal in Japan. And now you have to get a measles, mumps, and rubella shot all separately at all different times. And what's the result? Their rate of, and in Canada, by the way, I almost misspoke there. In Canada, you can only get the MMR vaccine from any of the big pharmas. They can all make them individual, but they force you to give your child the MMR vaccine along with the whole host of other vaccines. And now they admit that 2% of every child, or 1 out of 50 children in Canada, is autistic. Versus Japan, that is a 1,300% increase of autism versus the country that banned the MMR vaccine. But people like me are so-called conspiracy theorists if we try to make any type of connection to the vaccine and brain damaging children, or the vaccine, or the COVID vaccine and cancers, blood clots, heart problems, dying suddenly, and everything else we've seen. So we are in a literal shit show. I don't know if I can say that word on here, but they are coming at us from all angles, economically, lawfully, with so-called health, and they want massive dependence on the government. They want you as sick and unhealthy as possible, and they want you as uninformed as possible. So now that I'm letting all this out of the bag and I'm set to have this massive debate that's going to be seen by people all around the world, I was already target number one. Now I'm going to be target number one plus. So it's going to be a very interesting few months for me. This is why I'm not even in Canada, and I'm actually doing things to set myself up in multiple countries around the world, which, by the way, I advocate for everybody to do. In the post-COVID world, where they can put you on travel restrictions like that, I believe everybody should be what I call internationally nomadic. You should be collecting passports and residencies for other countries as fast as you can, because they're going to try to lock us down again. They are going to try another pandemic. And I can already tell you what the next pandemic is going to be. It's going to be a bird flu pandemic. They're already talking about how they have to cull tens of millions of birds around the world. They're already talking about how bird flu has made the jump to mammals, and you have all these different mammals dying around the world. They already created bird flu tracker apps so people can see how scary and bad it is. And we all know that bird flu isn't like COVID. Bird flu, you have a 1 out of 2 chance of dying. So if they start vaccinating the entire population with something like that, and it has the same effect as the COVID vaccine, we're not going to see thousands to hundreds of thousands of deaths. We're literally going to see billions of people dying. And we know that is their plan, because it was written on the Georgia Guidestones that they want to reduce the population to 500 million people, which, by the way, they blew up now, so you can't even go and see it and prove all of this. So there's the situation in Canada. You guys are almost as bad as us. I forgot the one thing in Canada that makes us worse than you. We have 0 gold reserves. We don't even have 1 ounce of gold. You guys have something like 50 tons, which is already really low. The United States has, they say, 8,000 tons. China says they only have 2,000 tons, when in reality they have between 15 and 30,000 tons. And the reason China will not declare the amount of gold they have is very simple. They also hold around $2 trillion in U.S. dollars. Even though the U.S. dollar has lost its official status as world reserve currency now that BRICS is out, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, with 10 Southeast Asian nations joining BRICS, Saudi Arabia, one of the number one allies of the United States, joining BRICS, it's only a matter of time before the U.S. dollar is dead. And it's literally a walking dead zombie. It's already dead, but it's still going because it's being artificially propped up. Because if they allow it to crash all at once, all these countries around the world that hold U.S. dollars, which, by the way, is still the number one held currency in the world by all the countries, but dropping every month, China's $2 trillion U.S. dollars become toilet paper. So they have to lie about their gold reserves, and they want to keep the price of gold down right now so governments can keep acquiring it in secret while they know the U.S. dollar is going to collapse. And when the U.S. dollar eventually collapses, Canada's dollar is going to collapse with it. And that's going to be the perfect excuse to bring out the digital currency. And that's why, another reason why I like a country like Mexico. Even though they're about to get their first female Zionist leader, because she's got all the money behind her and she's leading the polls, and she's going to try to bring in climate change, she's going to try to bring in massive immigration, and she's going to try to do a universal basic income there. In Mexico, less than 50%, or around 50 to 60% of people only have a bank account, and less than 60% of people have a credit card. Virtually every transaction in Mexico is done in cash. So it's going to be very hard to create the infrastructure and very hard to convince people to use anything digital in Mexico. So while Canada is way past its prime, looking over the edge of the cliff, and your life is guaranteed to get worse every single year from now, a country like Mexico and other countries like Mexico still have decades of prosperity left as they're on the increase. So I implore every Canadian that has the means and ability to get out while you can, do your research, find which country works for you, and start a new life there. Because if you stay in Canada, not only is your life going to get worse every year from now, your kids' future compared to yours is going to be completely completely bleak and eliminated.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, as I said, this man is fearless. Nothing stops Chris Skye. Man, I hope you can punch as fast as you can talk, because either way, that opponent of yours is going to come up bloodied and bruised if he gets up at all. So congratulations on that. Let us know when that's on. We'll live stream it in Australia, and maybe we'll put a bit of lead and a few pencils down here. Now, oh, man, so much to cover there. Look, just on the China gold, there are gold mines.